Welcome to the Tradar, a Traitor's podcast. I'm Matthew. I'm a writer who has spent the past few years working in unscripted TV development and podcasting. And this podcast is dedicated to the worldwide TV phenomenon, The Traitors. But for now, we are returning to New Zealand for their third season of the show. We've been recapping every episode, analysing the strategy and the tactics and the gameplay, and reflecting on the players and their choices, good and bad. Joining me today is someone who's already been on the pod. He's coming back again, and he'll be back again in the future. Let's meet him. Welcome back to the podcast. It's David Bloomberg back from episode two. You're here again. David, how are you doing today?
Good, good. They tried to pay me $5,000 to leave the podcast, but I said, no, I will not accept that money. I must do the podcast. So I'm back again.
As a ghoul, I expected you to have your hood on and
Well,
reveal yourself dramatically.
without that $5,000, I have the budget of the Traders Canada, so we can't afford the actual, full getup.
That's true, I see. Now, David, like I said, you were here on episode two with me. However, remind us, who are you and what you do online?
Yes, for those who may not know me, I have been covering reality TV for 26 years, including over 10 years on podcasts, and before that, online in newspaper columns, on my own websites. And plus, I still post reality TV videos on YouTube, TikTok, and Instagram, where I am at David Blomberg TV.
And David, I just recorded the episode three coverage mere hours ago. It's out there now in the world, but I'm fresh from it. I hope I don't mix up these two episodes. You know, we made a little joke there about Michael. You probably have some thoughts that we will come to maybe towards the end of the podcast, because actually, you and I both have some listener questions that we're going to address. So.
I was about to pretend to have heard the episode three podcast already, but so you kind of ruined that. But yeah, for just very quickly, I do want to say, because I predicted that Michael was gone for good because of the
Yeah,
$5,000 they gave him.
me too.
So I'm very happy that they brought him back, and they took back the money, which was made sense. You're not going to give him 5,000 and then keep him in the game. I'll have more to say about it in a video, so I don't rehash everything here for the podcast listeners. But I'm just glad because he clearly wanted to play the game, and I would have done the same thing that he did.
Yes, I agree, as would I. And again, I said this on the last episode. Jane from Traitors New Zealand season two and I were both very wrong. David, we also thought that he was gone for good. And Jane has actually sent us a little catch-up voice note, so we're going to listen to that later. For now, though, I think we are ready,
I did want
almost.
to add, sorry, I did want to add that everything else that we said about the Michael issue still stands. I still think that they need to, well, as one of your, as one of the people who wrote in said,
Yeah.
or yeah, left a note for you, said that they need to switch things up
Yeah.
because just bringing him back doesn't change the fact that it's still. Nobody is going to want to risk it because in UK, one time, I think it was UK, one time they brought them back and one time they didn't bring them all back. They still need to switch that part up.
Agreed.
The only other thought I had from episode three, well, I had lots of thoughts, but the one that's going to be most important here was Jill being called out at the round table for not throwing out names. And she said she just talks one-on-one and can't follow groups. Again, that I just worry it's too much playing dumb. I know
Yeah.
that's her strategy, but I just think it's going too far.
Yes, I think you're right, and I have given her credit here and there for a couple of things, but yes, was worried by the end of episode three that actually the way that Jill is playing it is not going to go down well. So something will need to change. And we will see if that happens in episode four. It's not looking great. So here we go. Episode 4 of Traitors New Zealand Season 3. Of course, episode 3 finished with, well, no cliffhanger at all. We ended before we even reached the turret. And Magica and I theorized, well, maybe it's because episode 3 and 4 kind of come together. And if you're streaming them, you don't really need the cliffhanger. But then jumping away ahead already to the end of this episode, it's similar. There's sort of not really a cliffhanger at the end of it all. It's unusual. I thought they were kind of amping us up for a traitor war. I didn't feel like that's really what we were going to get, and we didn't really get it. We arrive at the conclave. The traitors feel bad about what's just happened at the banishment. So Kate is now gone, and they're worried about Jill. She got a couple of votes, like you said, David. Although James, who was one of the people who voted for her, immediately regrets it. He says, "Oh, I saw how you reacted. You were so emotional. I've changed my mind. You're faithful. You're faithful." So that might be all right. And Brad says something here. I think he's saying it in confessional rather than to his fellow traitors. He says, "This game is, it's anyone but me. It's an anyone but me game," which is true. It absolutely is. I've just noticed the players use that phrase a lot.
He clearly took that from Queen Sandra in Survivor. That was
I
her
guess, yeah.
strategy, her well-known strategy. So,
Yeah, maybe that's what it is.
yeah, they're giving her due.
Yeah. And so we move on to their murder choices. They begin with Hannah. They think that that would be a good, devastating blow to the group. And they think because she's popular, but also she's very smart. So, take out smart people. You don't want anyone in the game who's likely to catch on to who you are and what you're doing. They discuss Elliot, which surprised me. But they noticed, well, all the votes shifted away from him. Magica and I again. We talked about this in the most recent episode. After that close tie at the first round table, everyone's sort of convinced by him. They're not really looking at him anymore. He didn't get any votes at the previous round table, so the traitors are worried. Well, does that mean everybody trusts him now? Is he just good at talking his way out of things?
We've talked about this before. It's like there's a super close vote, and then all of a sudden that person is determined to not be worried about anymore. And we're like, what happened? What happened here? And I guess it's just the way he handled it. And some people, although it was a close vote, I said at the time it was ridiculous to be close because of what Ryan had said. But a lot of people, like one in particular, wasn't it Dave, I think, who specifically said, "Well, I am consistent in my vote." I think it was Dave who said that. And it's like, yeah, but there was new evidence. It was wrong evidence, but it was a data point. Sorry, data point. So the idea that all of those people suddenly became convinced that he's perfectly fine, I mean, it's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I find it tricky to understand as well. I guess, I mean, I theorized about this on the last episode, but I have a new theory. Maybe, that first day, those first 2 days, they have really very little to go on. And maybe all the votes for Elliot were flimsy. Even the players themselves might have recognized we're voting for Elliot, but not for any great reason. Maybe a whole other day or 2 other days is enough to have seen and heard enough other things that those original thoughts you had about Elliot just seem so minor in comparison now. So it's enough time to just move on.
I do think that's part of it because some of them were saying afterwards, well, I didn't really have good evidence for either of them. And so, and then he had more time to explain himself and admit that, he was being a little bit too cold and calculated. So It's not a strategy I would recommend if, you know, we talked about it at the time. If Ryan had played smart, Elliott would be gone. So, and someone even said that in episode three to start, I believe. But I guess he now has, you know, flipped to the other side so much that the traders are considering him.
Yeah, here they are talking about him as a potential murder victim. And their third choice is Maria. They think that would be very random, doesn't feel like an obvious choice or even an obvious connection to any of them. They think if they pick someone who's relatively quiet and random like Maria, it could just turn the other players against one another with fake theories, and they could just let that chaos unfold. They make the
Now
decision.
the one person I can't believe they didn't mention, or we don't see them mentioning, is Michael. Because as I'm sure you discussed in episode three, one thing that they were talking about in the cars after Michael rejoined them is, oh, he's obviously a faithful. And so I think there are a couple of possibilities here. One, they've been told that he's safe. And they just didn't bother to tell the audience that part.
Possibly.
Or he did vote for Jill. And it may be that they had a discussion about Michael. And Jill was like, I really don't want to murder him because he voted for me and that could connect him back to me. And they just didn't include it in the deliberations.
Yes, I had a message about this very thing from one of our listeners, Adam. Adam sent me a message saying, Michael, I was shocked and happy that he got to come back, but did I miss that he had a shield or immunity for the next murder? If not, why wouldn't he just be instantly murdered? He's clearly a faithful. Can't recall how it went down when others have come back in the game in prior seasons. And yeah, and I'm pretty sure that in prior seasons, when a player's come back like this, all of the players have been told you can't vote for them in the first round table. But I don't remember them ever being told you also can't murder them. But yeah, I like you. I wonder if the traitors were told don't, you can't murder him straight away. He has to have give him a day. Or maybe they just felt guilty. Thought, oh, well, you can't do this to this poor guy. Come on, let's. I don't know. But yes, was interesting that we didn't see him discussed. So.
Yes, and so, like, if it's because he voted for Jill, I think that would be very funny that he accidentally saved himself. So now one other thing, I don't know if you noticed this. Have you? I noticed it particularly in this episode. There's the wax heater sitting on the table with all of them, right next to Keanu, like just to the right of Keanu, and it's like steaming and smoking. To the point where you can see it, like in some shots of Keanu, you could see it come up in front of his face. And
Is this in the turret? Or the conclave, or yes, I did notice the steam, the mist.
And it's like, has that always been there? I don't know. It's stuck out to me as being very noticeable. And I suspect it's because we're used to, and you mentioned this in episode two, we're used to a turret that is larger. And you know, normally, like when they go to sign a murder warrant or whatever you want to call it, they go to another table and sign it. Here, they do it right there and they seal it right there. And so I think they just don't have room. And that's why they have to have the wax just sitting there smoking right next to them. And it's just, I don't know, it stuck out to me.
It stuck out to me too. The fact that we both noticed it must mean it isn't usual. It was a shot of Bradley at one point. We had this mist. I foolishly didn't realize, oh, it's the wax, it's the heat to mix. I just thought it was they were trying to create some sort of cool, smoky, gothic effect
With
with
one
some
stream.
mist. So, yes, I guess that's what it is. But you're right. It points to this very small set they seem to have for the turret. Hey. Next day, then, we move to breakfast. Sam and Keanu arrive together with Aroha. And of course, Sam and Keanu, they've got this shared history. They know one another. I think they went to college or high school together or something. And Sam is worrying that she said too much at the round table last night. And she's saying, oh, I thought I would be murdered. I spoke up too much. I think she must have said more than we saw in the edit, because the way it looked in the episode, yeah, she spoke up, but she was giving us the impression she was going to come for Brad. It was, but then backed out of it and actually didn't really say that much about Brad at the round table. So I just wonder if she said more than we got to see to make her worry this much. But also, I'll probably say this later as well. If you're that worried that you're saying too much at the round table and it's going to get you murdered, stop saying so much.
Yeah.
Okay. Especially if you really genuinely think you've caught a traitor, just put that on the back burner. Don't, if you think that's going to get you murdered, that's more important than being vindicated and getting the traitor. So,
I feel like people just start to talk and then can't stop, and then they
yeah.
realize afterwards, like, I know I've been in those situations where it's like I'm giving testimony somewhere when I was working, or in a meeting or something, and then you're like, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have said that part. I mean, there's nothing, it's like, oh, boy, I said a lot. But yeah, in her case, it's possible we didn't see as much. It's also possible she's just paranoid.
Yeah,
She
could be
might
that
not
too.
have said more, but she might have felt like she said a lot.
Yes, that's a good point. And she reveals in confessional she is still very much on Bradley's case and implies maybe today is the day she's really going to go for it. The next
Maybe.
group arrive,
Who
maybe.
knows?
We'll see. The next group arrive. Jill and Brad are both in this group. And we see Maruya ask Jill in front of everyone, who was it that instigated Kate's name last night? Because you said that you voted for her because other people had been talking about her. You didn't have any leads of your own. And Jill, I don't think does a great job here. She still doesn't name anyone specific. She just sort of vaguely says, she doesn't actually really answer the question. I watched it a couple of times. She just sort of deflects and says, "Oh, I don't know even I don't even know exactly." She just sort of
Something like, I'll
rambles
do more of
and
that. I'll definitely do more of
yeah.
that. Because yeah, it's because Sam was pushing her as well. And so it's,
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it's something she does need to do. And I'll have thoughts about that later.
Yeah, she does say she's got someone in mind, but she's going to use today to make that a little bit more concrete, which is fine, but I guess you need to follow up on that. Because like you said, Sam is here saying, you really need to start mentioning people, More players arrive. The group conversation turns to, well, who didn't vote for Kate last night, if most of us did. And James reiterates that he voted for Jill, but now he's changed his mind. Maria soon arrives back, so we know she hasn't been murdered. She's safe, she's here. Harrison is here too.
Yeah,
And he has this.
it was weird for her to come in at this point after having
Yeah.
seen discussions of her. One thing, just going back to James and Jill, the funny
Yep,
thing I th thought there was Brad was like trying to encourage James because he knew
yep.
what had happened, and he's, oh, why did you mention Jill? Why did you mention Jill? And James is like, ah, she's good. I'm convinced she's a faithful now, and I could just see Brad going, dang.
Yeah. Yeah, we see a lot of Brad in this episode desperately trying to put Jill's name out there and it just not really catching on that much. Yeah, it's funnily enough, the way that you mentioned it's strange that Maria came back a little early. I feel like that happened in episode three too. Sam was potentially going to be murdered, but she came back, halfway through breakfast or something. So they're, I guess I like that they're trying to change. They're not making it so predictable that it's always the last two people that we thought might have gone. So, okay. Yeah, H Harrison has a moment where he almost says mum to Debbie. I swear, right before the moment he refers to, he said, sorry, mum, as he was walking past. I checked it back. I think he didn't say that, but I wouldn't be surprised if he's had a little slip here and there. And so we're down to either Elliot or Hannah. Michael and Violette aren't back either, but we don't think they're going to get murdered unless they really surprise us. There is a final knock at the door. And I just had a feeling even here they might have picked Elliot. And sure enough, Villette, Michael enter, followed by Hannah. Yep, Elliot's gone. The players are pretty shocked by this. We flash back to the traitors, saying they think he might become dangerous. He handled that first round table pretty well. He's got his data points, they've caught on. He's a big
Yeah, because
personality in general.
I had noticed that too. Like Sam was using that phrase, I think, in episode 3, and apparently other people have adopted it as well. So I wonder if they'll be using that throughout the rest of the season in his honor, you know, data points, data points. And so that contributed to it. I also wonder if someone said the anyone but me thing, and that also caught on, though that one would be. That would be more difficult because I don't know that you want to tell other players that you're playing anyone but me. So that may just be coincidence there. But yeah, this was quite a flip going from one vote away from being banished to being murdered in a day. It's crazy.
Yeah, that must be pretty unusual in traitors' history, I
Yeah.
would say, for the shift to be that sudden. Surprising. We see him get his letter. He takes it pretty well, makes a bit of a joke out of it. He said he had
Yeah,
fun,
who
he had
could
a
this
good
be for?
time. Yeah.
Whoever gets this is going
So
to be pretty mad. Something like that.
I like him. He seems fun. He's not taking it too seriously. We're back at breakfast. Madeline arrives and says, "Sweet, sweet Elliot, so chatty, so obsessed with data points, so dead." And then gives them their clue for the mission. A lifeline awaits among the straw and the shadows, but will you find it in time? Saddle up for a wild ride. Ooh, what does this mean? She heads off. Keanu immediately turns to Sam and tells, well, what seems like immediately, to say, "Oh, I've had a light bulb moment."
Yes.
And reveals to us, the audience, he is actively going to do what he can to target Brad today. So.
Which is just funny because in the previous episode, when Jill was like, "We need to get rid of Brad today," he was to us like, "No one's going to tell me when I should go for someone. I'm going to do it in my own time." And he waits like 12 hours and decides to do it. You know, it's like it's very much like a stubborn teenager who knows that, you know, mom and dad are right, but can't admit it. So they're gonna be like, "No, I am not going to do that." And then they do it, but they do it, you know, a day later.
Yeah, nothing to do with Jill, just totally his idea.
Yeah,
It's totally different. And then, I mean, really swiftly after this, we leave the room, we're milling around the house, and he gathers a whole group to tell them about this light bulb moment. I think they're outside, maybe. And so it's Keanu is with Sam, Violette, Harrison, Aaron, and Chloe. And he's got this theory, this teacher theory, that then permeates the episode. He says there are an awful lot of teachers in this game, like four that we know of. And the whole irony is that actually Brad isn't even a teacher.
I know, and this is perfect. I mean, this is hilarious to me because I was like, if he gets banished because of his fake job, when we had previously said hiding his real job was silly and unnecessary, it would be amazingly funny. So I wrote that before knowing what the outcome would be. And yeah, he's using this kind of meta game thinking that's the same sort of thing we see in the Traitors US, where it's like, well, there must be a gamer in the conclave, there must be a housewife or whatever. Or at least that would be the type of thinking if we didn't already know that Keanu himself was a traitor and was trying to get him out. But that's what it mimics in that way. You know, oh, there are so many teachers, there must be one. And I think it's freaking hilarious that he couldn't have used that if he had just been honest, if Brad had just been honest.
And also ironic because Brad, he had a little chat on Instagram, and Brad confirmed that what I had suggested on the pod was right, that he was trying to metagame it himself. And so Brad thought, if I say I'm a pastor, they're going to think the producers might pick me as a traitor because that's a funny juxtaposition or whatever. So that's what he was trying to play. And then it's ironic because it's kind of metagaming apart from, like you said, Keanu, that ends up getting him out through another mean. But
Yeah, I mean, it goes back to what we've said so many times. In most cases, by far most cases, your job is not going to be the reason. Your real job is not going to be the reason. So don't do it. We've said that before. I mean, yes, there are a few things. If you're an actor, okay, we've seen people picked on for being actors. If you're way too smart for some reason, okay, we've seen that. But a pastor, we've seen pastors before, at least one, and they were not chosen as a traitor. So why he, sorry, Brad, if you're listening, but you overthought that one.
Keanu's got this theory that there are too many teachers for one of them not to be a traitor, and also none of them have been murdered or banished. Does that
Yes.
suggest that the teacher traitor is keeping the others around to hide in plain sight? I think this is a little far-fetched.
It is,
I
but
don't.
okay, we've said that before about like when the numbers get lower, like let's say that there have been two traitors eliminated and they were both men.
Right, yeah.
And so people are like, oh, there must be a woman, and there's only four women left. Well, then if you're the woman traitor, you don't want to murder one of those women because you kind of hide
Yeah.
among them. So from that standpoint, I can see it. It is a data point. It's not maybe a great data point, but it is a data point. And, it's just, I think it's smart thinking by him to mention it. And it again goes to Keanu was lying when he said he's never watched this game. He clearly has.
Yeah, it's I mean, I sort of my immediate thought was, does anyone care who the teachers are or is even taking note of that? But I guess Keanu realized, I mean, it works. It works. So Keanu must
Right.
realize, well, they'll like this theory, so I think it will catch on, and it does.
That's true. If you're a teacher and Brad really is a traitor, then what are the odds that they're going to pick two teachers to be
Right.
traitors?
Yeah, so yeah, go along with it. He also claims that Brad and another couple of people back this up. Sam backs up, Harrison backs up. The idea that he's obviously acting, there's something, they keep using the word
Yeah.
robotic. There's something robotic about him. There's,
Robotic, or what did Harrison say at one
he says
point? He
there's a
has
sort of
like a,
veil. Yeah.
yes, veil, that's the word.
So there's something about the way he's behaving that they aren't quite buying. So yeah, they think he's pretending to be faithful and acting like he's going around and asking questions, but they've noticed he isn't naming any suspects of his own, as far as they've heard.
Except Joe.
Inside, except Jill. Inside,
And
Jill
Keanu.
is here. Yeah, and Keanu. Jill and James are having a chat. Jill's pretending to suspect Hannah and saying, oh, I wonder if the reason that she got emotional yesterday when she voted for Kate is because she's a traitor and she felt bad about it and she knew that this was going to send her home. Jill's plan is, though, to she doesn't want to tell anyone else. She's saying, don't tell anyone else this, James. Just keep it between you and me. But she's hoping that James goes around and passes it on for her. I thought it was a bit, she's playing too safe. Like, Jill, it
Yes,
doesn't matter. It doesn't matter.
if you have said, I am going to give some names today, and then you only give a name to one person and you tell them to keep it secret, then you are not giving names
Yeah.
until, unless you're going to wait till the round table. And if someone says something, go, James, didn't I tell you a name? And then someone's going to say, okay, you told one person. How is that helpful to us?
Yeah.
So I still think she's, yeah, playing it too safe or playing it too close to the vest here.
Right.
It worried me when I saw this part.
We also see Brad talking to Violette, and he's trying to create some sort of bond with her. He's telling her he feels this connection with her and Daroha. Little does he know, Violette was just outside talking with the others about finding him a bit phony. And he gets to work. He's spreading Jill's name around. We cut to clips of him, just one group after the other. What do you think about Jill? Anyone looked at Jill? Do you think Jill's a bit strange? He's talking about the fact that she had a headache on day one, like, I don't think
Yeah,
anyone
it's
cares about
this
that.
is like this mysterious headache that has come up twice now, except we never saw it in action. We've only heard two people refer to it. And it's like, what happened? Did Jill really have a headache? Did she have to go lie down? Did
Yeah.
we don't know. We've seen stuff like that in Million Dollar Secret where someone gets sick and has to leave for a little while, but it's just weird that we didn't see the actual situation, but we've heard now two references to it.
Yeah, I wondered the same. Maybe she really did have like a migraine or something and asked to go up to the rooms, which isn't normal. And they wouldn't have wanted to, that sort of ruins the illusion a little bit of the show. But if the other players keep talking about it, they kind of have to put it in the edit at some point. Brad even tries to get Sam on board. He's telling her, "I'm on your wavelength." And she's like, "Oh, okay." Again, little does he know what her wavelength is.
Yeah, and he did one thing Brad did bring up again was Jill pretending to not know the game.
Yeah, so apart from Brad and the obvious trouble facing him, Jill is sounds like she's in trouble too, if people are noticing this. And this conversation just further convinces Sam that Brad is a traitor. We move off towards the mission shortly after this. We're in the cars. The players are discussing who's going under the radar. And I'm saying that they didn't say that.
I was
And it's
gonna
only a
say,
matter
did
of
I miss
time.
that?
I'm just manifesting it. At some point, someone will say it. And Brad takes the opportunity to mention Jill again. She's very quiet. Keanu returns to the teacher theory. He's spreading it to other players now. It's catching on. And Marie, the thing is, though, I noticed this here. At least one of our listeners sent me a message about this too. I apologize because I can't remember who it was. Maria is, I think, in the front of the car while Keanu's talking about this, and she finds it a bit odd. She says, "It's." She suggests, if that turns out to be true, this teacher theory, or even the, she doesn't even say if it turns out to be true. She just thinks, I wonder if someone knows more than they're letting on and they are using this teacher theory as a cover, which is absolutely what's happening. So I thought that was very observant of her to
It'll
realize
be
there's more to
interesting to
this than meets the
see.
eye.
To see if that comes back again, like, next episode or the episode after, does she, whenever some suspicion starts to fall on Keanu, if she then says, well, it was strange.
Yeah, that you, yeah. Strange that you came up with this theory about Brad that happened to turn out to prove true. How the hell did you come up with that? Anyway, we're at the mission now. We are at a stable, we're at some sort of barn, and Madeline tells them that the traitors have left their stamps inside that they use to stamp the murder letters at night. They'll have 7 minutes in each room. There are three rooms in the stable to find them, but only one stamp is the real traitor's seal. If they can find the real one, the traitors won't be able to seal their murder letter tonight, and therefore there'll be no murder. I quite like this way of dealing with a mission. I think it makes it feel worthwhile. It's not just money to the paw, it's something extra to really make you take it seriously. And this isn't wildly different from yesterday's mission. It's a find objects in the dark mission. Like it's quite similar, and there is a little bit of an extra twist here, though, which again I like. The traitors have inside info. They've been told where the stamps are hidden. We see a little flashback of them looking at a map of the barns. I like that. I like when the traitors have an incentive to ruin a mission, but also the opportunity to accidentally give something away, or at least it provides more for the players to theorize about and talk about, rather than just you drank water at the table and it was weird. Like, so it's just providing more to go on, even if it's wrong.
Yeah, it's like, oh, you found that awful quickly. That's suspicious. Or, oh, you looked in the same place that I had already looked. That's suspicious. So it's one of those things that can go either way.
They split into three teams, and it's funny because Sam ends up with Keanu, and she's like, I think I'm with All Faithful. I'm a great team here. The mission begins, and yeah, it's are quite chaotic. They've got their hands in paint pots. They're pulling open drawers and rifling through hay and bookshelves and pulling things apart. I there's just a sort of production-y technical thing that struck me. I'll come back to it. Bradley tells us that he does want to actually find the stamp because he wants to make himself look like a great faithful, but then realizes that he kind of forgot where it actually was, and while he's looking in the wrong place, Aroha finds a stamp. And so Bradley's like, oh, okay, there's my plan.
I'm really not good at maps, I think is something he
And
says there. Yeah.
there's a little moment here that could end up being a big deal. Dave makes quite a big show of saying, oh, can I see that? Oh, he
Yes.
says, oh, you found a gold one. Oh, can I see it? I've never seen one before. We know that's just innocent curiosity,
Right.
but Aroha reckons it's a bit suspicious, and I understand that. I find it a bit much as well. I would probably think, why are you making a big
Well, he
deal out
also
of
says
wanting to see it?
he doesn't just say he wants to see it. He says it's gold, so it's probably the real one.
Yeah, so that's a very specific thing to
She's
know
like,
or point
and
out.
yeah, how would you know that it gold is the real one, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm sure it's because he's seen it on the TV show, but he's also assuming that the fake ones are not gold.
Yeah.
So it's definitely not a smart thing for him to say.
Yeah. So I understand why Aroha picks up on it and uses it later. Even though we know she's wrong, I understand why it's aroused her suspicion. Debbie, this is what I was going to come back to. There's another shot of like Debbie finds some black paint and she doesn't want to put her hand in it. She's saying, I don't want to look in here. And James takes it and goes, yeah, why don't they just pour the paint out? I do wonder if they've been. I have no idea why they didn't just all pour it out and look rather than
Yeah.
plunge their hand in. Might they have been told by production, there's going to be some pots of paints. We want to see you put your hands in them. It
Well,
just
or don't
makes
make a
better
mess
TV.
because I mean, I don't remember which group Debbie was in, but especially if she was in group one or two, they don't want to have to go in there and clean up. Oh no, there were three different rooms. That's right. There were three different rooms, so they weren't in the same room anyway, but they still probably didn't want to have to clean it up.
I thought about that too, but then I thought, well, they put their hands in them anyway.
Yeah,
They're
it's still
gonna
going to
be
be messy.
dripping. It's not gonna be
Yeah.
messy. I don't know. I wondered if they've been told, put, you have to stick your hands in. It just looks more messy and it looks
Yeah.
better on TV than you just carefully pouring it out and looking with your eyes. Anyway, minor point. Aaron finds another stamp, which he's pretty happy about, considering he performed really poorly in the mission yesterday. And not long after it's over, there's not much to the mission. They reconvene outside, and Madeline reveals that Team One did not find anything. Tells them where it actually was, and they're really annoyed with themselves. Of course, Keanu's in that team, so he's just pretend. I mean, unless like Brad, he really did forget where it was. He's
I don't
having to
think so because
pretend.
I didn't go back and rewatch, but I believe Sam was going to look in those tires, and then Keanu kind of dismissed it, and she said, "Oh yeah, they wouldn't put it up there." So I feel like he at least somewhat dismissed the idea. I'm not 100% sure how vociferously he did, but I do think he helped in getting her attention away. She didn't seem to notice that.
Team two is the team with Aroha. She found the stamp. They've also banked $2,000. And in team three, Aaron found the stamp. Madeline then checks them and reveals team three found the real one. And it's she holds them up. We see them on camera, and I realize, oh, right, one is like a partial stamp. It's not even got the whole logo on it. Right,
Yeah.
that's why one of them's not real. Okay, I get it now. And Dave speaks up a bit too much. Again, he goes, oh, I see
Yes.
what you mean. The sign was different. Again, Aroha notices that. She thinks it's a bit over the top. So,
So
not doing
not
himself any favors.
Yeah, now it's an attempted cover story. So it went from accidentally giving yourself away to an attempted cover story. And it's like, logically, those two things don't actually go together. Like, if he was a traitor, he would know the first one was not. And now, when it's not, he's saying more, and it's an attempted cover story. So logically, what she's saying, it can't be both. You can't have it both ways. But, you know, this is the traitors where you can have it both ways.
Yeah. So Madeline reminds them, of course, this means they can sleep easy since there will be no murder tonight. And as they leave, Dave is still talking about what the stamp looked like. We then arrive back at the castle, and Harrison sits down with Debbie Teat. They have a little moment alone, and he's trying to talk to her, you know, as son to mum, and he keeps having to say, "Mum, keep your voice down, like whisper. You're talking too loud." And she's like, "I'm not saying anything that gives away you're my son." And
yeah.
She even tells us in confessional, she's still not totally confident that he's not a traitor. So she is playing with the game in mind, too. And as they're speaking, Maruja arrives and says to Debbie, well, she wants to have a chat with her. They're not in much time together. But Debbie just sort of gets up and leaves, which obviously Maruja notices, and says to Harrison, you think she got up a bit abruptly there? Like, something is going on. So I don't know if Debbie's just, she says she's tired. She's worn out from shoving paint around and looking for a stamp in a barn. We get a little bit more of Brad telling us how confident he feels going into the round table.
Yes.
And I thought, okay,
I haven't heard
if they
my
are showing
name.
Us this, there is some ominous foreshadowing going on here. I don't trust this at all. And Keanu even tells us that Brad is totally oblivious. And he's talking more to Sam about Brad, hoping that she'll be the one to bring it up. Keanu doesn't want to do it himself. And from here, we are heading towards our slow motion walk to the round table. Coming in, Jill knows she's going to have to bring a name tonight. She thinks she might mention Hannah. Brad again says, I feel like I'm playing a bloody good game. No, Brad, don't say these things. Sam's also telling us she's here to confront traitors. She wants to catch them. Again, my immediate reaction is, maybe not this early, Sam. You should hold on a while. And you know, Sam, you were worried this morning about getting murdered because you spoke up too much. Why are you putting yourself at risk again? What? So, unless, I mean, I'm going way too far, but unless you think it's okay to get out a traitor because you hope that their fellow traitors didn't care that much anyway and don't mind, which is happening here. It is the case.
Right.
Sam has no way of knowing that, but I think generally it is risky to be the big traitor hunter.
Yeah, I think she's just caught up in the moment of it, really. It's,
yeah.
You know, like I said earlier, you know, I shouldn't have done that, but now I'm going to go do more, you know.
Right. Yes, and she will do. Madeline greets them all. The prize fund is $30,000. Reminds them that the traitors knew the locations of the stamps in the mission today, and lets them talk. Maruja begins the discussion and immediately returns to what happened with Debbie a little earlier. And she wonders why someone who's as intelligent and educated as Debbie has voted so randomly. And she also thinks Debbie's been a bit avoidant. Now, it doesn't really matter how many PhDs you've got. You're as blind
right.
as anyone else in this game.
Yeah,
doesn't
I mean,
make a difference.
Just because you have that degree in one area doesn't mean that you're smart in any other area or that you can play the traitors. And I'm not saying Debbie isn't. I'm just saying I have known many PhDs. Yes, you have to focus on your one area there, but that doesn't mean that you're brilliant everywhere else. You know, I see people on social media who proclaim themselves Dr. So-and-so, and they have a PhD in poetry, and they're talking about science and technology, and they're completely getting everything wrong because they think that they have a PhD and they're a doctor, so they can know everything. It's like, no. And you know, I worked with a guy who was a PhD who, I don't know how he got his PhD, but he was like one of the worst workers I've ever dealt with, you know, and so, and of course, I went to grad school, so I dealt with a lot of PhDs there also. And yeah, just because you have a PhD in one area, you can't just assume. And again, this is nothing against Debbie. I'm talking generally here. You can't just say, well, you have a PhD, you're brilliant, therefore you shouldn't be acting this way. And it's like, no, PhDs are people too.
I to play devil's advocate, for Maria here, maybe she just means if someone like Debbie is very accomplished and is someone who's academically, accomplished, wouldn't she be a bit more analytical at least? Like, might she not just come up with some theories? Whereas every time it comes to voting, Debbie just sort of seems to be like,
I
I
mean,
don't know, like, is it just maybe a bit?
do we know what Debbie's PhD is in?
No idea. She did mention it, I think, in the first episode, and I have totally forgotten it.
Yeah, because again,
Let me
it
look it
could be
up.
in
Oh,
something
it's
that's.
PhD in traitor hunting.
Oh, well, in that case, damn it. How did we not know that?
No, I'm not sure, but
I mean, I could quickly look it up on Instagram, I suppose. This is great,
I do have a list right here, actually, of
Oh,
all the
here it is. She
casts.
popped
So.
right up. PhD, 30 years in education. She's a
Okay.
senior lecturer and
Lecture.
master's prog lead and does professional coaching. So I don't know what a prog lead is. Program lead? Probably not a
Yeah,
progressive
program
rock
lead.
lead. So I'm guessing, yeah, it's a PhD in education, which, yes, there's definitely some analytics needed in that sort of situation, but it's not the same sort of analytics. She did not get a PhD in detective or,
Sure.
you know, it's just, again, it's just different.
Unless Debbie's lied to everyone and told them that she's actually
Yeah.
a doc, she's got a doctorate in like detecting dishonest people. I don't
Now
know.
wait a minute. If
Probably
she spent all this time in education, that means she's a teacher too. So that means
not.
five.
Oh man. How could I not have seen that? Yes. Oh my goodness. Maybe that's gonna come back to haunt her. That's fine. What happens at the end of this episode? They've got their teacher, it's good.
Yeah.
But Debbie just sort of flounders when she's trying to respond to this. She
Yeah.
just goes, "Oh, I don't really know what to say. I don't have an answer," which isn't a great comeback ever.
Yeah, I'm being myself and I'm playing the game.
But that won't stop people from voting for you, unfortunately.
Right.
Chloe questions Aroha and says, "You found the stamp fairly quickly. Was that, I'm wondering if that's a bit suspicious. Did you know?" But Aroha just sort of turns it back to Dave and says, "Well, actually, what's more interesting is what Dave said," and goes over the what Dave spoke about and how maybe it was a bit too over the top. I noticed that James keeps interrupting during this to defend Dave. I do, it's not. It just stood out to me. I thought,
Yeah, he
James,
said, I think he
someone else
said,
is
I
in
actually,
trouble. Let them be in trouble.
yeah, I think I wrote Aaron. I keep writing Aaron when I mean James. I don't know why in my notes, but usually I catch it. But I wrote, he doesn't find it suspicious. And I think that was indeed James, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think that's suspicious. So, but I agree with you. Let it go. Who cares? Unless you're like super, super tight allies. But again, why? Yeah.
It's anyone but me, James. Anyone but me. Let them take the fall. Then it's Sam time, and she even says, "Okay, here we go." She's got this gut feeling, and she's been collecting evidence against you, my darling Brad. She says that he has an aura of knowing something others don't know, but it's all a bit of an act. He's pretending to be a faithful. She's noticed he doesn't actually say any names. His response is, "No, he's been worried. He's, funnily enough, like she was worrying. He's been worried about getting murdered, so he's been reticent to name too many people." But he says, "No, I mentioned Jill's name. I mentioned Jill's name in the car today." I thought, you mentioned it way more than just the car. So
Yeah.
It's his response is to immediately throw on to another traitor. He's just like, "Well, Jill, I said Jill, look at her." And there's an
And Jill's just
amazing.
like, yeah, go ahead. Yeah.
No, you're probably going to say the exact same thing as me, that there's a shot of Jill. There's a shot of them side by side that I'm going to put on the YouTube video here.
Yes.
But I have it. I'll show it to you now, David. Of Jill just looking like totally taken aback. I'm laughing to myself looking at this picture. There's Jill.
Yeah.
Brad calling her out. So yes, I have to put that up on the screen for
Yes.
everybody.
Yes.
Yes, so Brad's going straight to Jill, and he then jumps straight to Keanu as well.
Well,
He's like,
wait,
and as well as Jill.
you did leave out what I was going to say. Part of it
Okay,
was
okay.
the confessional, and it's the super short confessional because all it says it has is her saying, "He's just a weasel."
Yes, I didn't notice that.
It literally made me laugh out loud. You know, I was just,
It
that was perfect.
was great. And Brad is now on to Keanu. And I
Yes.
think, what are you doing? I think Brad is just panicking. I think he's just like, oh God, they're coming for me. I didn't expect this. Take Jill, take Keanu.
Yeah, how do you think naming both of your fellow traitors is a good idea? Dude, come on. And I think the problem is he had started by mentioning Keanu. So some people probably heard him say that. And then he switched to Jill. So he had to say the names he had been focused on. And the problem was the only names he had been focused on were his fellow traitors, which there's your problem right there.
And Keanu just immediately fires back and said, "Well, you obviously, I've been talking about you today, and you've obviously heard me, so that's why
Right.
you're now just gonna come for me." And Brad's like, "I didn't know you. I've not heard you talking about me."
That is brilliant by Keanu. That really is smart by him to just use that because, yeah, we often know that it's not received well when someone says, "You're a traitor," and then someone just responds back, "Yeah, well, I think you're a traitor." And so he's basically putting that out there without needing the first part. He's saying, well, clearly you heard that, and that's why you're claiming it. Even though we know Brad hadn't heard that, but of course that doesn't matter.
And Keanu is telling the truth.
Right.
He's got that to back up, to fall back on, to say, "Yeah, I was talking about you today." Other people can sort of nod and be like, "Yeah, we heard him. He did talk about Brad." So he's sort of in the clear. Sam brings it all back around to Brad, though, and says he's trying too hard to get on with everyone. Again, calls him robotic, mentions the teacher theory, which Keanu reiterates, re-explains. And Aaron even speaks up here to mention that he noticed Brad's body language. And I didn't notice this at the time. I don't know if they showed us this
I
at
don't
the
remember
time.
either. I didn't go back, but
Madeline mentioned the reward, what might happen tonight if they succeed or fail the mission. And yes, Brad was doing a little bit of sort of
well,
Mr.
yeah. I mean,
Burns.
Aaron describes it as it's hard to describe for the listeners, but he describes it as, yeah, like, you know, tapping his fingers together. But when we see it, it's actually rubbing his fingers together more the as. Brad eventually says, "Wait, so you think I was literally sitting there going, Mu-ha-ha-ha-ha-ha?" And it's like, "Well, yeah, you had, it turns out you were." And
Kind of were.
I don't know. I really do think this is going to, if Traitors New Zealand gets as much viewership, this is going to go down as one of those moments, like the like when the when in UK, she said traitors and we had the head turn. You know, I think like this is how can you do that? Like, you know, rub your hands together like that. And he tries to say, well, I talk with my hands and I do this. No, you clearly subconsciously did this, and I think it is freaking hysterical.
I mean, I think, do you know what? I don't think this matters. I think Brad was going anyway by this point. It
Right,
was too
right.
late. I sort of thought he was responding to, "Oh, rub my hand, like, oh, we get to stop the traitors. Oh, we've got a chance to catch them. But maybe
I
you're right that
guess.
actually he was sort of betraying himself,
Yeah.
perhaps. And so Madeline returns and closes discussion. It's time to vote. Aroha has the opening vote and votes for Dave, which isn't a surprise because of what she heard him saying in the mission. Debbie is next and votes for Chloe, which seems, in keeping with Debbie, utterly random. Don't think anyone knows why that's her vote or where it's come from. Jill's next and votes for Brad. Okay, now it's not surprising again. Brad votes for Jill in return. And even at this moment, I made a note to myself, oh, this might not be good for Jill.
Yes.
If Brad ends up going, I wonder if Jill's game is doomed too because of this back and forth. Michael votes for Debbie. Sam votes for Brad. Hannah votes for Debbie and Maruya votes for Debbie. So at this point, I thought, oh, I thought it was going to be like a landslide for Brad. I mean, you get a lot more than this. But then,
And then here comes the landslide. Yeah.
here's the landslide. So they started at that point to make us think it was going to be a little bit more open. And there's just a chain of votes for Brad now. Violet, Chloe, Harrison, Keanu, Maria as well. Well, by the time it gets to Maria, we know he's banished. He can't come back from that. There's a shot in between these votes of Brad in confessional. And I mentioned this on episode 3 of the podcast as well. I alluded to it. I could tell in that confessional that Brad was crying or had been crying. And because they show, and it was before Maria had given her vote, so we didn't know he was definitely going to get banished yet. But the fact that he looked really upset, I thought, oh, he's been banished and he's recorded this after the banishment. I felt like it was a little bit of a spoiler.
I didn't notice the crying, but yeah, I definitely thought the same thing.
Yeah. And so the remaining votes come in, even though we know the outcome. James does vote for Debbie, and Dave and Aaron both vote for Brad as well. So Brad is gone. He stands up to give his goodbye speech, and he's upset here. And then I thought, oh, yes, he was crying. And that is what I saw in the clip. He says he didn't expect to get upset. He really likes everybody, had the time of his life. All of the relationships I've built have been genuine, rubbing hands. It feels like everyone is a faithful in this game, but I know that everybody can't be a faithful because I'm a traitor. Woo! They go mad. Everyone goes wild. They're all jumping up, hugging, especially congratulating Sam because she seemed to lead the
Yes.
charge today.
Which is so
Maybe
good
bad.
for Keanu. So good for him because
Yes,
it
it's
takes the
exactly what he
focus
wanted.
off of him.
Yeah, perfect. However, here we have Jill saying, oh, I'm worried that Brad voted for me on the way out. And as we leave the room, Dave says the same thing. He mentions this point to James. Did you notice that Brad voted for Jill? What does that mean? Are we worried? And James is saying, yeah, something's going on. And like you've brought up, David, James says, yeah, she acts too confused too often. I don't think I'm buying it.
James is just like a tumbleweed. He just blows in the wind when it comes to when it comes to Jill. It's like, Jill, I think you're a traitor. Nope, now
Yeah.
I'm sure you're a faithful. Whoop, now I'm back to thinking you're a traitor again.
Yeah. And Sam, Keanu, and Aaron meet. They are also noticing Jill is right up there at the top of her suspect list now. Of course, Jill walks in as they are talking about her. And we cut to confessional clip of her, and even I thought it even looked like she was maybe crying or a bit emotional. She says she just can't see a way out of this now. It's not
Yeah.
looking good. And in fact, the episode essentially ends right here.
I mean, she does say to the people when she walks in that she doesn't understand why Brad was pointing at her when he was checking in with her all day. And I mean, I know she needs to defend herself, but I don't know that that's going to cut it.
Again, there's no conclave tonight. Well, of course, there's no conclave because there's not going to be a murder, is there? But
I'm not convinced there isn't a conclave.
yeah, I thought they might at least meet. Oh,
Because
well, actually, based on the preview, They will meet and chat, but they're just not going to murder anyone.
Right, because in the preview, we hear people are coming for Jill. Jill tries to make Harrison out to be a puppet master, and Madeline makes some sort of offer that looks a lot like recruitment.
Yes.
But the timing, like they put the clip of the conclave at the end of the preview,
Yeah.
which makes it seem like it's at the end of the episode, but it's a preview. You can put clips wherever you want them. So I
Yeah.
don't know, does the conclave take place at the start of the episode or at the end? Because if it's the end, it's a spoiler that Jill survives.
Yeah.
So if it's at
I,
the
yeah.
beginning, I think they could go for recruitment, which would be a really secretive recruitment because everybody already believes there is no murder happening.
Right,
So that could
yeah.
be very, very interesting.
I assumed, I think like you did, that the preview was just out of order. I'm sure they must start with a recruitment because you're right, they can't, it would spoil that both Jill and Keanu then made it past the banishment to then get to the next conclave. I'm pretty sure they'll meet at the start of the episode. And what, David, what was that you, what did you say that they were gonna discuss?
What did I say that they were going to discuss? A
Why
recruitment.
might they be meeting in the conclave, David?
Oh, because maybe somebody's
Maybe
been.
someone's been recruited. Maybe someone will be recruited.
Took me a minute to get where you were going there, but I got there.
Listeners,
But the
if you
thing
have
is, they
not
won't think
seen.
that. That's what I said. We'll miss that opportunity because they're not expecting it.
Yes, listeners, apologies if you have no idea what you've just heard. If you've seen Celebrity UK Traitors, that might ring a bell. Anyway,
Yes.
yes, I had sort of not been realizing, oh yeah, when it gets to two traitors, they give them this option of recruitment. Okay, so the preview was kind of helping me out a little bit there. David, we have got maybe some final thoughts, maybe theories going forward. We've got several listener predictions about what's going to happen. We've got even a voice note. Before we discuss all of that good stuff, can you tell us how we can follow you online and what other shows you're covering apart from The Traitors right now?
Well, right now I'm covering The Traitors, New Zealand.
Oh, okay.
But generally, I'm all over social media and reality TV podcasting. I'll be right back here several more times for this show. And then as the summer goes on for India and Australia, maybe not in that order. Big Brother begins exactly a month from today as we're recording this, Big Brother 28 in the US. So I will be on RHAP talking about why each player loses. And then, of course, I continue to make my TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram videos where I am finishing up Survivor 50, added in The Traitors New Zealand. And there might be a couple of other shows coming along, like there's, I think the third season of Outlast on Netflix. So I'll probably do some videos there. And then there's a show about former reality stars and some other people lying in bed. And it's hold on, and I'll tell you the name of it because suddenly I'm blanking on the name of it. It is sponsored by Cozy Earth, which I
Cool.
think is a bed company. I don't know. And it's the Bed Rot Challenge.
Oh, yes, I've seen this on social media or something. Okay.
Yes, and we know, Traitors related, we know Carolyn is part of this group and Natalie. There's at least two people who will be familiar, and it's some sort of strategy game to get people to get out of bed. And if you get out of bed, then you lose. I don't really want to know what the bathroom situation is when it comes to this, but maybe I'll be doing some. It seems to be like a YouTube show, so maybe I'll be doing some coverage of that as well. On the video sites, I am at David Bloomberg TV, or you could just go to my Linktree/David Bloomberg and find all of my accounts there.
I don't know if I will watch the Bed Rot Challenge, but I might just experience it via your videos online. I feel that's a nice way for me to feel the essence of it and feel like I'm up to date and aware of it. For the TradeR podcast, you can follow us on Instagram, TikTok, and YouTube at the TradeR podcast. And that's where you can send me messages to give me your thoughts and questions and tell me what you think we should discuss on the podcast. And of course, I post traders news and little videos there too. You can email me at thetradarpodcast@gmail.com. You can send me a voice note at memo.fm/thetradarpodcast, and we'll play it here on the pod. We had a few voice notes in the last episode. We've got another one coming up. And I should remind everybody that I am hosting a couple of Traders Online games. Now, there is one very soon. It's on the 27th of June, but that might not suit people in New Zealand and Australia. So I am going to run one in a couple of months' time. It's going to be on August 23rd, and it's at 8 a.m. UK time, which is, I think, 7 p.m. New Zealand time, 4 p.m., 5 p.m., 6 p.m. if you're in Australia. So that might be a bit more manageable for the people
I
who've
will
sent me
definitely be
messages.
there at 2 a.m. my time.
Yes, if you're any further west than the UK, that might not be quite so manageable unless you want to get up in the middle of the night. But I've got a QR code. I'll put it on the YouTube screen here right now, or you can just look at the link in the episode description to find out how to sign up and come and play the game with me at my virtual castle. I'm gonna mention one more thing here. So I'm cramming an awful lot in, but just so many things to tell people. I am launching a new podcast, which is not anything to do with the traitors or really anything to do with TV. It's all about school and the fact that I used to be a teacher before I was doing this and working in
That's
TV or
pretty
anything like
suspicious
that.
that you're a teacher.
I know, right? This is the perfect episode for me to mention this, and I did not plan it this way. I genuinely was a teacher. I was an English teacher for many, many years in high schools in Scotland, and I have tracked down a bunch of former students of mine who've gone on to live their lives and are now in their 20s and 30s, and which is quite frightening to find out what the hell they did with their lives. Because as a teacher, you spend so much time with these kids and you have great relationships with most of them, and you help them pass their exams and you try and send them off on their way, and off they go. And generally, you don't know what becomes of them. And it's nice in this day and age, some of them track you down eventually in social media and say, "Oh, hi, Mr. Keeley, it's nice to see you." Oh, you're not a teacher anymore. But I wanted to actually have a little chat with them about what they are doing now, but also what they felt about school. And I think that's probably something that most people can relate to. What was it like being in high school? How do you feel looking back? Was it a waste of time? What did you like? What did you hate? What were your favorite subjects? What do you wish you could go back and change, and all of that? The podcast is called A Word After School, and it will be launching in a week or two, but I'm going to put a little preview at the end of this episode. So if you hang on, I'll play just a little segment so you can hear the kind of conversations. I'm going to include a funny little anecdote that one of my interviewees told me that had me in hysterical laughter. So hang on to the end and you can hear a little preview of that. Back to the traitors. Of course, like I said, no conclave tonight. We saw a bit of the preview.
Sorry, you forgot something very important.
Oh,
Where people can get TradeR merch.
I did. I skipped it, but yes, if people want to buy some wonderful TradeR merchandise, you could go to redbubble. No, that's not even the address. It's thetradeR.redbubble.com. David has a wonderful mug there from Redbubble, so there's all sorts of merchandise. And if you buy any of that stuff, it helps support the podcast. There's a coffee.com page too where people chip in donations, which is very kind. That's at ko-fi.com/Matthew Keeley. Thank you for that
And I
reminder,
would,
David.
yes, and I would like to give a special thank you to Kenlin, who donated to
Oh,
my coffee.com
hey.
because they enjoy this podcast and it keeps them company when they travel. And it also teaches them a great deal about social deduction games. So thank you, Kenlin.
Perfect. Oh, that's really kind. Thank you so much. David, you got some, well, we've got some, let's do our listener questions and then maybe we'll come back to like final thoughts overall,
Yes.
thoughts on this episode, maybe even three and four. I've got a prediction from Vinny. Vinny has emailed to say, To try and save herself, I think Jill will campaign hard to recruit Harrison in the conclave after Bradley's banishment, then try to get him ousted at the next round table because Harrison has picked up a few votes so far. Also, I think this is Vinny, not me. Vinny thinks Jill is keeping a secret from us that she is or was a copper, a copper. She's giving copper to me. I don't know if that's true or not. Vinny, if you end up being proven true, then I will return to this. But hey, if Jill's got a secret police background, it would be very coincidental if she was also an English woman like Jane from last season, who was also a retired police officer. So it'd be very strange if they did that again. But hey, stranger things have happened.
I'm looking up Jill now. It doesn't say anything in her Instagram. It just says running on coffee and confusion. Traitors,
Just
New
like a
Zealand
copper would
fleet.
say.
That's right. That's right. So I don't know if, I don't
We'll
think
see.
so. I don't think so. But
Yeah, I'm
I
not
feel
getting
like,
police vibes from
well,
Jill.
I'm also getting like, considering how much she's playing dumb, I think they would have put in a confessional of her saying, not only am I playing dumb, but I'm not a secretary. I'm a,
Yeah.
police detective or whatever. So I just,
Yeah.
I think it, I like it. I like the idea, but I don't think that they would have kept that from us.
Yeah, I think we might have found that out by now. And I mentioned Jane. Speaking of Jane, Jane has sent us a voice note on her thoughts and her prediction of where the season is going. So, of course, Jane was on season two and she joined me for the opening episode of this podcast season. Let's hear from Jane.
Hi Matthew, it's Jane here from New Zealand Traitors Series 2. Just thought I'd leave you a little voice note after watching episodes 3 and 4. Few editing issues, which is a little bit disappointing, but hopefully that'll improve. Giving a bit too much away before the episodes begin, but apart from that, absolutely loving the series. And I have a prediction for the whole series, which I'm going to share on another podcast, so I thought I'd share with you. It's purely my thoughts. No brain cells were harmed in the thinking of these thoughts. I think that if Samantha isn't murdered, which let's be honest, she should be, but hopefully she won't be because I really like her, I think Aaron is going to be recruited next as a traitor. I think Samantha will at some point be recruited. I think Jill will be banished. Keanu will be banished. And I think Samantha's going to win the whole thing as a traitor. That's my prediction. So we'll see. Anyway, loving the podcast as normal. Speak soon. Bye.
Thank you so much, Jane. That's quite a theory.
It
That's a
is.
long-term theory.
I like the theory. I think it's a good theory. I like also that Jane was clearly on a walk. You could hear her, crunching through gravel or whatever as she was doing this. So that is a good way to occupy your walk time is to send messages to this podcast.
Yes, exactly. Maybe Jane was back at the castle behind you. She's wandering around the castle grounds,
That's
reflecting on
right.
her time there. I have two more listener questions. I think you have one as well, David. Is
Yes,
that
I
right?
do. Yes.
Do you want to go ahead with yours?
Sure. So this is from JD Nutmeg on Blue Sky. And he said, do we think Michael would make a good recruit? And then he added, I'm assuming they did specify he could come in as a faithful or a traitor, and we didn't see that part. And I agree. I wish that we would have seen that. We saw some speculation in the car afterwards, as username 9A also pointed out on Blue Sky. But yeah, we didn't see Madeline specifically say, I'm not saying whether or not they're coming in as a traitor or faithful. It's more implied. And I've noticed they've done that a few times. There are things that are implied but are not specifically stated outright. So do we think that Michael would be a good recruit?
Well, he probably would be a good recruit in that. Well, in that. They all think he's a faithful, and therefore he would probably last a long time. However, this particular duo of traitors that we've got left, I don't think want another traitor
Right.
who's going to make it all the way to the end. I think they're sort of doing the anyone but me thing, particularly Keanu. So I don't think Keanu wants that. I think he, if recruiting, will want either Sam because she's his buddy or someone else that he can just kick out soon. I wonder if the other players will start to think, why is Michael still here and he hasn't been murdered? Because we all think he's a faithful. So that might draw attention to itself. So I don't think Jill and Keanu will choose Michael.
Yeah, I agree. He would be a good recruit if you want to make it to the end with him, but neither of them want to make it to the end with him. So, no, he's too innocent, too faithful at this point to be a recruit. I agree that they're, I mean, first of all, kind of jumping ahead, I don't think they should recruit anyone, but I, you know, if they do, which we'll get to in final thoughts and predictions, I guess, but if they do, I think it's going to be someone that they can quickly throw under the bus.
I have an email from Sophie that is has sort of 7 points, but very condensed. So I'm gonna quick fire through them. Sophie's marrying up with some of Jane's thoughts, funnily enough. Jane mentioned the editing maybe ruining things. Sophie says the number one, the editing feels weird and a bit rushed. People randomly showing up and oh, time for round table. So maybe it's a bit too fast. Two, what the F happened to the shields in the first mission, and why was there no talk about them at all by anyone? The traitors must have known there was a chance they could try to kill a shielded player. I can't even remember what the first mission was. It's, so that shows that I, even I'm not thinking about it. But yeah, maybe we just didn't see any discussion of who had
Well,
shields and
yeah,
who we could murder.
both times because weren't there were shields in the episode three mission
Yeah.
that they found, and I feel like only one or two people found them.
I think only two,
But
yeah.
and this is what I mean by there are things that are implied but not said. Like I would say it is implied that they either knew who had gotten the shields or see, but this is important. I agree with the, you know, this listener question. This is important. This is stuff we see discussed. Like, did they talk about, did the people who got the shields say, hey, I have a shield? Or did they keep it to themselves and, you know, make the traitors risk that? We don't know. You know, maybe that's why they didn't vote for Michael, to go back to what I talked about at the beginning. Like, was it because they thought he might have come in with a shield secretly? We don't know. There's too much being implied here. And these are what, 50-minute episodes. And there's time to say it. But I guess, you know, I'd rather have personal interaction. So that part's good. But it really does. I know it's not the same editing team, but this makes me worried for the US civilian season, which is only going to be after commercials, like 42 minutes long. And if we think this editing is rushed, what the heck is going to happen with those episodes? And that's, you know, what I'm really worried about.
I think I did just assume that if we didn't see it discussed, it meant the players who had shields told everyone, and so that it was just there wasn't really anything to then talk about. The traitors just dismissed them for murder, nothing to see. Sophie says, number three, love some traitor and traitor violence, but it happening so early makes me doubt that any OG traitor will be in the end game. Four, Debbie's acting so sus. Yes. Five, the return of Michael. Yay for him, I guess. Six, a bit of a strange production choice to have two looking for something missions. I said this, I thought three and four were a little bit too similar.
I think that's
And six,
probably a budgetary situation.
yeah, just easy. And seven, Sam is great. It would be fun to see her as a recruited traitor with her buddy Keanu. So Sophie's thinking along the same lines as Jane. There we go. I have one more listener question, and this is a sort of a broader one to finish on. This is from Michael K. Michael sent me an email saying, "Been listening for a while, and after New Zealand season 3, episode 2, I was reminded of a problem I've noticed that I'd love your take on." And I think we have talked about this here and there in the pod, but it's good to come back to it. Is there any mechanic that could be introduced to try to avoid bandwagoning during roundtable? I get on one hand it might be something production wants, but on the other hand, it means one tiny misspeak or negative comment from another player and your game's done. I think, which I think that's just the way it goes, but I think it also means players play much more conservatively so they don't stand out. I think something like, so Michael's got some alternatives. What about if a faithful's voted out, all the players who voted for that person don't get a vote the following night, or something to encourage players to actually go with their own opinion and not just follow the group? Because even Michael says, anyone but me. I think there might be some unintended consequences, but it would give every player the option to validate their vote going against the majority, by saying if they got it wrong, at least they stuck to their own belief. This way, roundtables become more about finding traitors and not just surviving roundtables. I run a lot, so I've put a lot of thought into this particular issue. Would love your thoughts. Yeah, we've definitely at some point questioned, is there a new mechanic to introduce to genuinely get them to try and get traitors out? I have a few thoughts on this, but David, does it bother you that the group vote?
No, it doesn't, because no matter what you do, you want to make sure that you don't end up like Ryan. You know, you need to, people need to vote strategically. Also, from the production standpoint, they don't want 10 different suspects, because kind of like we had with Debbie, she voted Chloe, and we're like, why? We have no idea. It was one random vote. They didn't bother to explain it. But now imagine if there are six random votes that more than even one or two people voted for. They have to find a way to put all of that in there. They want it narrowed down to like two, three, four people tops, so that they can tell those stories of why those people are being targeted. They don't want everyone to have their own ideas and go off half-cocked or fully cocked in some other direction. So I don't think they're going to want to change for that. So really, you've got two things going. Production does not have incentive because it makes things more complicated to edit. Players don't have incentive because then you could be voted out by like three or four people at a stage like this. And you don't want that. You want the pile on as long as you're not the one being piled onto.
Yeah, I also don't really. I mean, I personally feel bad for the people who are getting piled on, but in terms of game, it doesn't bother me, and I'm happy to see players use that to their advantage. Like you said, I don't mind that that's part of gameplay, is just figuring out where the vote's going and hiding. It doesn't bother me too much, but I understand, Michael. Yes, sometimes people think, yeah, well, what if there was some incentive to actually get it right? Michael suggests if you vote a faithful out wrongly, then you don't get a vote at next round table. I think that's too much, probably. I think that's too extreme. But I have, in the online game that I run, implemented a little change. I'm not saying I'm going to do this every time, you know, I'm not spoiling anything, but I have run the game with a mechanic that rewards people for correctly banishing a traitor by offering up an extra shield. So if a traitor's banished, a shield goes to one of the people who correctly voted for that traitor to maybe a little give a little bit of encouragement to actually try and get a traitor out. So I quite like that rule that I have created. I wouldn't mind if that was in the show. So maybe that would address what Michael's sort of bothered by here. David, final thoughts. What do we think about this episode overall?
Well, first, so much for my prediction that Keanu would be the first traitor out. I did not foresee Brad going over the top so quickly. And, you know, during the voting, we got this brief confessional, and I think it's the one you were talking about, where he was clearly already voted out, because I mean, that's the only time that it could have happened. From Brad saying, you know, that he realized the previous night he had to go for one of his fellow traitors. But it looked like one of them was already coming for him. No, Brad, that's where you're wrong. Because if he had not already been throwing out Keanu's name and then Jill's name, let alone both of their names, he would have been fine. They were not coming for him on their own. They were coming for him because he was already coming for them. It was like I said, he had thrown out Keanu's name. Jill told Keanu, and Keanu was like, well, I'm not going to let her tell me what to do. I'm just going to do it the following night. And so, yeah, Brad's actions that caused them to turn on him. So he's trying to say, well, they were already coming for me. No, no, you caused your own demise this way.
Yes, I think that, yeah, I don't think Bradley played a great game, as I don't think Jill overall is playing a great game. And I think Kiani's doing the best job out of them, but I actually agree with Sophie, who sent an email. I don't know if any of these three OG traitors are making it to the end because of the, like Sophie said, I think they've attempted to, or had the thought of turning on one another too early.
Too soon.
They've been too paranoid about one another. And they, as we regularly say, and as we covered on our How to Win the Traitors podcast episode, work with your fellow traitors as long as it's feasible. You know, make that your goal for most of the game. And I don't think any one of these three really had that in mind from episode one.
I mean, well, I think it,
Jill and Keanu kind of did.
Right. I think that those two did, and their hand was forced by Brad. But it just shows one person can trigger, you know, you talked about a landslide earlier, and this could be a landslide that takes out all three traitors. Because I worry about Jill. I hope she can pull out of it. Maybe she can if they recruit someone and get rid of them. Keanu, I worry because of what Maria said in the car that you mentioned. That I think that's a little hint that eventually, especially if he ends up going for Jill, if someone's going to put the pieces together and be like, huh, he seems to have a little too much information here. Yeah. And I also think he's gaining in confidence more and more as he, as his plans succeed.
Yeah.
So, you know, what will happen next episode, or let's just say the next two episodes, I do think there will be a recruitment. I don't think they should do it. I think that this, I mean, we've talked about this before too. I don't think you should recruit at two, especially if the two of you seem to be in agreement about what to do going forward. But I think Keanu is going to push for it because he wants to get rid of Jill at this point.
Yeah.
And the question is, what will happen? Him recruiting Sam would be smart on his part. But there's no way Jill should agree. No way. Because he already revealed that they know each other.
Yeah, yeah.
So you're bringing in an ally of Keanu's. No, that would be a terrible thing for her to agree to. The fact that she brings up Harrison in the preview does suggest that either they're recruiting Harrison and then targeting him right away, or she just needs to pick someone else. And Harrison seems like a very random choice based on what we've seen so far. Maybe what they really should do is recruit Debbie, because she's already yes. got suspicion on her. Recruit Debbie and get rid of her. And, you know, that way there maybe that takes some of the heat off of each of them.
Yeah. Of course, there's always the possibility that they offer recruitment to someone who refuses it, which throws another spanner in the works.
Yeah, but if Debbie does get recruited or the offer, I think it will confirm her belief that Harrison may be a traitor. And she's like, oh, he's bringing me in. And then she shows up and is like, oh, this is not Harrison.
That's true. That would be great. I want to see that now.
Yes.
David, you will be back most likely for episode 6 coverage with me. I'll be back for episode 5 next week at some point, as soon as I can get to it after the episode airs. We're a little behind here in the UK, so, you know, just a bit of catch-up time. But thank you very much for joining me, David. Until then, laters, traitors.
And stay traitorous.
Jenna, welcome to A Word After School. It's very lovely to see you after all this time. How are you doing today? How's it going?
Hi, Matthew. Well, it's really great to see you and to be on the podcast, but I think it's been, what, 16 years since we first met back at school.
Yes, a long time has passed. Of course, you haven't aged a day, Jenna. You look exactly the same. So I feel like we're in a time warp of some sort.
I was a good pupil. I was really nice, but for
Oh,
some
yeah.
reason, I used to like pulling pranks on like random people. Chemistry was probably the worst prank I ever did. But
What happened in chemistry?
right,
You
buckle
need to
in.
tell us now.
Oh, so I wasn't good at chemistry. I think I got an A4 in the end. So I was just kind of there, just to tick the boxes. So we were playing a bit. Well, not playing a bit. We were mucking around one day, and I don't know what type of chemicals were out in like the wee beakers, but we were basically splashing them around. Nothing acidic, so don't worry, guys. But basically, a little bit had went on my water bottle, so I drank out my bottle, and then I don't know why I decided to do this just off the cuff. I just went, "Oh my gosh, miss, I've just swallowed a chemical. I've just swallowed a chemical." And she's like that, "What's going on?" And I went, "I swallowed a chemical." She goes, "Right, you need to go to the nurse, you need to go to the nurse." So I took two of my pals with me. This was like period
course.
six. So we went down and I actually went to the nurse to be like that, "I've swallowed a chemical," because I didn't want to have holes in the story. And because it was the end of the day, the nurse was like that, "I can't do anything for you." It was so bad. So
What have you been
basically,
poisoned?
I know. She goes, "Just that's
It's
fine,
nearly
that's the
half
end of
three.
the
Not my problem.
day." You go to the hospital yourself, hen. So that night I like drafted up a fake like NHS letter,
My
and then
God.
this is terrible. And I got like one of the F6s to sign it, like a doctor signature, and then I went in to chemistry. I was like, "Oh miss, what a night. I've been in the A&E all night." Well, she went ballistic at the class. "This is like Janice had an incident because of you. Oh my gosh." And I couldn't hold it in, so I burst out laughing. And she goes, "What is it?" And I went, "Oh, it was only a joke." And I set myself out laughing so much. But she was actually fine with it. She thought it was funny. So, see, if that had been any other person, I think I probably would have gotten a wee internal exclusion, maybe, or detention, but I just don't know. I got away with things that other people normally wouldn't. So,
That's absolutely brilliant. Your teacher was probably, whoever they may be, was
yeah.
probably like, "Oh, thank God I'm not going to get in trouble."